we are not really doing a new series. This is just a one-off sermon today, and I figured since it's Mother's Day, and you know, mothers love their children, and we could talk about love and the love of God and how that. I'm not a mom. It's hard for me to preach through. No, surprising. I've looked like I'm carrying every now and then, but I am not. Just too many cheeseburgers is all. But I have. It's hard for me to preach through the. Thanks for the sympathy laugh, Rhema. It's hard for me to preach through the context of being a mom because I am not one, but I can preach about the love of God this morning. And so that's what we're going to do. So have you ever, before we jump in, have you ever had a hard time loving someone? Amen. Yes. Okay, good. It's not just me, right? Maybe I'm the person. Maybe I'm the one. Some people are very easy to love, right? Some friends and your spouse, and some people are harder to love, like enemies or people who have wronged you before. And some people can be both easy and hard to love, like maybe your children sometimes. Like when you walk into a room and they've decided to paint a mural on the wall, right? And while they think it looks great, it doesn't exactly go with the flow of your house. Or when you've just given them a bath and they immediately go outside and jump in a puddle or roll in the dirt. You know, it's difficult to display love in that moment, but you don't love your kids any less, right, in that moment when they do those things. We don't love them less, and it's the same way with God. We really all are just kids, right, that need to be parented by God. We're kids that are hard to love, yet he loves us no matter what we do. We really are just children in need of parenting by God, and he loves us anyway. And the cool thing about this is that we then get the ability to turn around and love others through the gift of the Holy Spirit. So the whole idea of this message today is this. Listen, right? I'm going to say things after this, but this is it, right? So this is what we're going to talk about today. We can love others no matter what because we have an unending source of love within us that is the Holy Spirit. God's core nature is self-giving love. And according to John, the apostle who lived with Jesus as an eyewitness to the cross, to the resurrection, God is love. Love is always the right response, and we should be a church who love others no matter what. Amen? All right, we can go home. Happy Mother's Day. No, I'm just kidding. So we'll unpack that a little bit. We're going to look at a passage of Scripture today from 1 John, and this is a letter that is written by John the Apostle. John the Apostle was a disciple of Jesus. He spent lots of time with Jesus. He watched Jesus. He listened to Jesus. He asked him questions. John was an eyewitness to the life and the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He wasn't just a follower of Jesus, but he was an apprentice. Right? He spent 3 years living with Jesus, going where Jesus went, doing what Jesus did, eating what Jesus ate. The author of this letter has insight to Jesus, and that makes this so valuable. So John was with Jesus through the resurrection, but it didn't actually end there. There's one more way that John interacted with Jesus, even after the cross and after the resurrection. John received the Holy Spirit, the literal Spirit of Christ. And so the presence of God, right? The presence of God inside his mind and his heart. This is important because the ministry of Jesus didn't end with the cross and the resurrection and then the ascension. God sent his Spirit to dwell within us and live with us and go through life with us. Now, the incredible thing is that you have this same Spirit. Right? You have the same Spirit that John had, that I have, that we all have available to us. So what this means is that because of an indwelling of the Spirit of God is that God is always with you. Another way of saying that is you are never alone. Right? Anywhere God goes, or anywhere you go, God goes with you. You don't have to go to a special place or a building in order to enter into God's presence. I'm glad you chose to do that this morning, right? But God's presence was with you on the drive here and also last night and yesterday, right? God's presence is with us because he already put his presence within you. And John's very clear about this in his writings. This is one of the differences between the Old Covenant and the New Covenant, right? In the Old Covenant, God dwells in the temple, in a building, in brick and mortar, or tent. Now, the New Covenant, God is with us. He dwells in our hearts through the Holy Spirit. Therefore, as Christians, we have nothing to fear and nothing to lose if we're following Christ. We have nothing to fear because God is always with us, loving us. We need not fear death, nor sickness, nor loss. We don't need to fear economic downturns or financial collapse or elections or war or hunger or poverty, right? Those are all very real things that are happening. But his presence is within us. We have everything we need. And so in that sense, we have nothing to fear. We also have nothing to prove, right? God's love is deeply and unconditionally within us. He accepts us right where we are, no matter what. And then the power of that love breaks us free from that sin that entangles us and keeps us separated from him. Now, it also frees us from the need to constantly prove ourselves or constantly seek approval and recognition from others. Isn't that nice? That's real freedom, not having to prove ourselves or worry about what other people think. When we shift from insecurity to security with God's love, and in that sense, we have nothing to prove. So, let's go to the passage on your screen, and as we read it, I want you to see if you can pick up on a main theme or on a key word. 1 John is kind of written differently than the other epistles. It's almost like he's writing to you as a friend. He's not necessarily writing to a town or a church. Now, he was living and doing ministry in, I think it was called Asia Minor then, but it's modern-day Turkey is where he was at when he wrote this. So he's more than likely writing to people there, somewhere around there. But see if you can find a theme in this and as we look at this passage together. So 1 John 4, verses 7 through 21, it says, "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us as he ought to love, or we also ought to love one another. Now, no one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. This is how we know that we live in him and he in us. He has given us his Spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them and they in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in God, or whoever lives in love, lives in God and God in them. This is how love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. In this world, we are like Jesus. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because he first loved us. Whoever claims to love God yet hates a brother or sister is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother and sister, whom they have seen, cannot love God, whom they have not seen. And he has given us this command: anyone who loves God must also love their brother and sister." All right. What was the main theme or the key word? Hey, yeah, you guys got it. This one word John uses in this passage more than any other word. John says love 27 times in 15 verses. 27 times. That's a lot. And I don't know how it sounds in the Greek, but that was a mouthful to read in English, right? I can't read the Greek just straight up. That would be really hard. We would be here all day trying. But love is this main theme with John. He actually says it 46 times total in this letter, 1 John. But it's the main theme because love was the main theme with Jesus, right? This is John the Apostle who has insight to Jesus. So here are three things that we can learn about the importance of love through 1 John, through this passage. The first one is God is love, period. The first thing, and maybe the most important thing, is that Scripture says God is love. Now, it says this in 1 John 8 and in 16. And notice, both times when John says God is love, the verse immediately ends with a period. It is as if John is telling us God is love, period. I think I've got them on the screen for us. Verses 4, 8, and there we go, 4, 16. It says, whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love, period. And then in verse 16, and so we know and rely on the love God has for us, God is love, period. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in them. Notice there's no comma, there's no ands or ifs or buts. John doesn't say God is love, but he is holy. God is love, but he is just. Or God is love, but he is righteous. Those things are all true, right? But John doesn't say that. He says God is love, period. And he does it twice. I think this is intentional. And so this is important because John knew God's love. It was not one small part of his makeup, right? He's not partly loving and partly holy and partly just, partly righteous, and so on and so on. He's love. And he's not held in tension with justice, right? God isn't conflicted about anything. He is perfect and whole. And so God's core nature is love. It's self-giving and life-giving. Everything else is an expression of this love. Think of it this way. Think of God like a diamond, right? And every other characteristic of God is just simply just a facet of that love. Just like a diamond, right, is a diamond. Some of you have them on your ring finger right now. A diamond is a diamond, but it's also sparkly, right? It's incredibly strong, and it's valuable, right? All these are characteristics of this diamond because it is a diamond. The love of God, God is love, it's the same way. God is all the things we mentioned, but they are expressions of God's love. Right? God's holiness is an expression of his love. God's justice is an expression of his love. His righteousness is an expression of his love. And his mercy is an expression of his love. And so everything God does is motivated and it's initiated out of love. Right? He loves you. He loves the world. He loves the drug addict and the prostitute. He loves you when you're at your worst. He loves Jews and Muslims and Hindus and Buddhists and every other belief. He loves atheists and agnostics. He loves Democrats and Republicans. Right? He even loves politicians and tax collectors. The lowest of the low, right? He can't not love because God is love. It's the core of who God is. And it's what John is saying to us. And twice he says that God is love, period. Number two, love is always the right response. Love is always the right response. This is a hard one to swallow. We're going to talk about it. The second thing that we're learning from John is that there is a real expectation that we love as God loves. This is where things start to get challenging for us. I've got a few verses up on your screen. It says, dear friends, this is 7 and 8, dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God. Ouch. Verse 11, dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Verses 19 and 21, or through 21, we loved because he first loved us. Whoever claims to love God and yet hates a brother and brother or sister is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother and sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. In other words, if you can't love something that is tangible right in front of you, how are you going to love God who is in the form of spirit in the relationship with us? And he has given us this command. Anyone who loves God must also love their brother and sister. So, like we've said, God's core nature is love, and he expects us to love one another the way he loves us. That's an impossible standard, right? That doesn't seem very fair to me. And I have to ask myself, I'll ask you guys, how are you doing when it comes to loving others the way that God loves us? Here's the truth. No matter what your relationships are, no matter how you've been treated, no matter how what people have done to you or how you've treated others, love is always the right response. And love is always possible because love is a choice and love comes from God. So we're going to talk about reacting versus responding, right? We'll talk about that for a couple minutes. There's a difference between reacting and responding. You may not always react in love, right? But you can always respond in love. There is a difference. Reacting involves that initial feeling or that initial impulse about something, right? It's much harder to control how we react emotionally to a situation. When people gossip about us, right? We might react disappointed or sad. Or when your teenager gets sassy with you, you might react with burning rage inside, right? Sometimes that's there. When you hear the evening news, you might react with fear. Or when you discover layoffs are coming, you might be frustrated or have some discontentment. When someone cuts you off in traffic, you might relate or react by saying or doing something you would not want caught on camera. That was a joke. I'm the only road rager in here. Nobody else? All right. There we go. Yeah. Those are reactions, right? Reactions can also be transformed by the Holy Spirit. We're not stuck there. We have God dwelling within us, but that's not the point. The point is our response doesn't have to follow our reaction, right? Responses are different from reactions. Responses are intentional. So while reaction is something that you may not be able to control, you are responsible for your response. So another way of saying that is you're responsible in what you do with that internal reaction. You can make it external, right? Or you can choose to have a second thought and then a first action. No matter what life or your employer or your spouse or your teenagers throw at you, you can always respond in love. And you may not react initially with love, but you can actually capture that initial feeling or thought and take it captive and turn it around into a loving response. 2 Corinthians 10:5, we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ, right? We take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Love is always the right response because love is always God's response, right? Everything he does is flowing out of that love. When I was in college, just an example of reaction versus response here. When I was in college, I was driving behind someone, and he was being very impatient, trying to get around the car in front of him. Now, in this guy's defense, the car in front of him was driving ridiculously slow, like very slow. And so I'm kind of taking this whole thing in and wondering how this is going to play out because I had no way around both cars. I just was along for the show. And so the guy in front of me finally gets a chance to pass the car in front of him that was driving way too slow. He speeds up, gets beside the car, and chucks a fountain drink out the window, smashes against the driver's side window and down the door, and he drives off. Now, that's an example of reacting, right? Taking that reaction, turning it into an external response. Now, if the man would have been focused on responding in love, instead, he could have just stopped tailgating, waiting for a time to safely pass and smile and wave and head on down the road, right? It would have been a way better response, a lot more loving response. Now, I'm not completely innocent in this story either, right? I also I also reacted instead of responding in love. My reaction was I laughed really loud in my car when that happened. Am I proud of it? No, I'm not. But funny, right? I mean, you just don't expect to see a fountain drink go flying out the window and bust against the car. Oh, it was wild. And then when it was safe, I went around as well. I did not look over. I didn't want to acknowledge it. How we react internally does not have to be how we respond, right? Love is always the right response. And then number three, love no matter what. Love no matter what. John writes, "No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us." That's in verse 12. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another here in this church, it demonstrates that God is here, right? If we love one another here in this church, it demonstrates that God is here. And while no one alive today has actually seen God with their eyes, they catch a glimpse of him and his goodness when we are busy loving one another as a church. Wouldn't that be a pretty amazing thing if our church was just simply known as the place where people to go to encounter God through the love that just abides there? It is very possible, right? It's possible to be that place. The only question is, will we love one another well? And so a statement like love no matter what is kind of heavy, right? There's a lot of no matter what situations that happen. I mean, there's a lot of rough things out there. But I think the question that comes up is, who should we love? There we go. Well, I've got five. I'll do one better, Austin. I've got five of these. I think they're on your screen. But I've also brought scripture to back it up, but that's my job. I don't expect you to do that, Austin. You're good. First, we should love God first and foremost. I feel like I've preached this verse till I'm blue in the face, but Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment." Right now, loving God, it's our utmost priority as humans. We love God by devoting ourselves to relationship with him. When you love someone, you try and prioritize your life so that you can spend time with the people you love, right? When you love to be with someone, you prioritize time with that person or with those people. When you can't spend time with them, you are usually communicating by texting or calling to check in. Our relationship with God really should be no different, right? We should be prioritizing our time with God, and he left us this whole complete book filled with his word. You might have heard of it. It's called the Bible. That was a joke. Come on, guys. Can't laugh on Mother's Day, I guess. We should be prioritizing our time with God. We should be doing it in scripture and in prayer, right? We should be spending time reading God's word and praying. And we can live in this mindset of continuous conversation with God all day long. And if we love him, right, we're making that a priority. Number two is we should love our neighbor. We should love our neighbor. Right after this commandment that we just read a second ago, verse 37, Jesus gave another commandment. He says this, "And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself." Now, if you remember this story that Jesus tells, it's right after this point in scripture where this expert in the law is kind of trying to trap him, and he ends up telling the story of the Good Samaritan. Instead of giving him a direct answer, he tells this parable. Oh, is that me, Brian? It's got to be me. I'm the only one with a mic, right? Can you hear me? Oh, no. Okay. I did the old turn it off and on again, right? Anytime you call IT, they're like, "Have you tried turning it off and on again?" It's a fix-all. Anyway, so Jesus answers by telling the story of the Good Samaritan, and basically this teacher of the law asks, "Who is my neighbor so I can know who to love?" Right? And Jesus essentially says, anyone you come into contact with. So, number three, We should love fellow Christians. Anyone who loves God must also love their brother and sister. That's verse 21. Oh, here we go. We there? If this one pops, I think we're just going to call it. I'm almost done anyway. We should love fellow Christians. Anyone who loves God must also love their brother and sister. Sometimes we are good about loving those on the outside, but on the inside, it's a different story. We can welcome someone in, but we have conflict with someone we've been worshiping with for years. And it's the same if we take this literal, right? Literal brothers and sisters. It's very easy to love someone we don't live with, isn't it? People we don't have to spend a lot of time with are very easy to love because you have an out. You can just go home. Sometimes the people we're closest to are the hardest to love because we know them so well. We spend so much time together, whether it's fellow church members or biological family. God is calling us to love each other. Number four, we should love our enemies or love those who have hurt us. Enemy is a really weird, that's kind of a weird term in our language, right? We don't do a lot of battle. Love those who have hurt us. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Matthew 5:44. This is a tough one. This is one that we tend to struggle with. You know, they hurt me, they hurt my family, they don't deserve love. And if it wasn't for Jesus, I would say you're right. But we see Jesus knowingly and willingly and faithfully laying down his life, not just for his followers, right, which most had dwindled by that point, but for those who were killing him. We're called to love our enemies. And then number five, let's love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. John 13:35. Loving others is how people will know that we are followers of Jesus, not by how much we know or how eloquently we pray or how many theology books we read or how good we are at arguing or debating someone. They will know who we belong to by how we love others. Have you ever spent time with somebody who loves really well? I hope so. I hope you've been able to experience that. Don't you feel the love of Jesus through them? Chances are you even became a Christian because of someone like that. Someone like that is the one that showed you who Jesus is. This is really important in the life of a Christian and the advancement of the gospel in the life of the church. So as we close today, I just want to touch on one last thing. You have an unending source of self-giving, life-giving love within you. You have the Spirit of God himself. You can access this love by pouring yourself out in love to those around you, whoever that may be. Sometimes we think if we love too much, we'll be empty or we'll go dry. But God himself is a never-ending source of love because he will never leave you. So as long as you have him, and you do have him, you will never exhaust his love. Would you pray with me this morning? Father, thank you. Thank you for this love. I've said love more times this morning than ever before, I think. But it's important. We thank you for this source of love that never leaves, that never changes, that is complete and whole and righteous and merciful and just. Help us to love others as you have loved us. Help us to be people who are recognized by that love. Help us to be people who let others know who Jesus is by the way that we love others within these walls, within our homes, and outside of those places. Our enemies, our friends, our families, whoever we come in contact with. Help us to be people that live in that love and know who God is because we love others. We just thank you for your grace, for your mercy, for your work on the cross. We just want to be people that glorify you through the way that we love others. It's in Jesus' name. Amen.
Our worship team's going to sing. Our altars here are always open if you feel like God has been speaking to you and you'd like to respond this morning.